Good morning. It's Monday, May 15th. I'm Beth Golay, and this is Wichita's Early Edition from KMUW News. A new federally funded program aimed at reducing crime and homelessness is offering free services to Wichita's unhoused community.
I grew up this kind of population, so it's really nice for me to be able to finally give back and then hopefully show people that, you know, you can break that cycle of poverty and things like that. So.
Coming up, KMUW's Kylie Cameron takes us to Project Hope's first outreach event. But first, the news. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly has announced $30 million in grants to more than a dozen tourism sites across the state. The funds come from the SPRINT program launched earlier this year by the Kansas Department of Commerce. The money is aimed at helping tourism-focused businesses recover from COVID-19. The grants include $10 million for the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks and $1 million for the Kansas African American Museum in Wichita. Kansas tourism usually generates more than $11 billion a year, but it has not returned to pre-pandemic levels. The World Health Organization has ended the global health emergency for Mpox, but doctors say the disease previously known as monkeypox is still a threat in our region. Here's Noah Taborda with more.
Since January 2020, the CDC has reported 219 Mpox cases in Missouri and 50 cases in Kansas. A vaccine has been available since last August, but health agencies are starting to see breakthrough cases. Greg Poland is the director of vaccine research at Mayo Clinic. He said new cases are a regional concern, especially on the heels of COVID-19.
In some ways, we may be less well prepared just out of fatigue and denialism than ever before.
The CDC is warning of an uptick in Mpox cases in the Chicago area. Some of those infected were already vaccinated against the virus. I'm Noah Taborda.
The American Civil Liberties Union of Kansas argued in federal court Friday that a Kansas Highway Patrol maneuver for detaining out-of-state drivers violates constitutional rights. In closing arguments, ACLU attorney Sharon Brett said troopers are subjecting drivers to unwarranted drug searches and turn routine traffic stops into consensual searches with what's known as the Kansas two-step.
I think it preys upon innocent motorists who don't know any better. It's led to a deep distrust of law enforcement.
An attorney will provide closing arguments defending the KHP later this month. The patrol says reasonable suspicion for the searches was established through drug dogs. The judge hearing the trial will issue a verdict later. Wichita city leaders could vote this week to allow more types of fireworks within city limits. The city council will hear a proposal Tuesday to let residents buy and shoot aerial fireworks. The current ordinance prohibits anything with sparks that go higher than 6 feet. The changes were recommended by a committee led by Wichita Fire Chief Tammy Snow. She says the current ordinance is difficult to enforce. Under the new plan, bottle rockets and sky lanterns would still be illegal. Penalties for selling and shooting illegal fireworks would increase. The state of Kansas is again giving students free admission to more than 100 museums, zoos, and other attractions through the Sunflower Summer Program. The program, now in its third year, runs through a smartphone app and is funded with federal COVID relief money. Kids from preschool through 12th grade can get free tickets along with any two adults who go with them. Kansas Education Commissioner Randy Watson says the program has helped keep kids learning over the summer months, so state lawmakers voted to extend it.
The legislature did pass some dollars to go to Commerce and other people to run this program after the federal money runs out, and that will start next year.
Sunflower Summer starts May 26th and runs through August 13th, or whenever funding runs out. There's more information at sunflowersummer.org. A free Blockbuster is now located in Tallgrass Films Micro Cinema in downtown Wichita. The free Blockbuster is like a little free library, but instead of books, offers free DVDs and VHS tapes. Tallgrass Films says it's intended to help expand access to film and entertainment for those who might not be able to afford to go to the movies. About 1,000 DVDs and VHS tapes have been donated to keep the stand stocked. This is the first free Blockbuster location in the state of Kansas. So maybe no penalties for failing to rewind. We'll be back after this.
Two men of color vanished after last being seen in the same deputy's patrol car.
I knew something was wrong. My mother knows.
It's the strangest case, the most unsettling case.
Listen to the Last Ride podcast, part of the NPR network.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Beth Golay. As local governments in Sedgwick County work to address homelessness, a new city program is trying a different approach to address the needs of the unhoused community. Kylie Cameron visited Project Hope's first outreach event to learn more.
It's a cool spring morning, and Health Corps' mobile clinic is set up in a parking lot at 2nd and St. Francis in downtown Wichita. The health clinic is providing care for the unhoused community that day, or whomever else shows up, in connection with Project Hope.
I'm loving this clinic because it gives me the opportunity to reach out and help people.
That's Joseph Stroud, a nurse practitioner with Health Corps' mobile team.
I grew up this kind of population, so it's really nice for me to be able to finally give back and then hopefully show people that, you know, you can break that cycle of poverty and things like that.
Stroud is at the clinic with other medical and mental health providers for the day to serve as a one-stop shop for those experiencing homelessness. Project Hope is a federally funded program that aims to get providers to collaborate and work together to address crime and homelessness in the city's core area. Representatives like Brandy Niblett with the City of Wichita's Housing Department are also at the clinic to help get people connected to housing, if they're ready for that step.
It takes a village. It does. It's not just one program, one person.
The clinic that day was one of the first the city organized as part of that effort. According to Health Corps CEO Teresa Lovelady, the initiative will continue to evolve with the needs of the community.
It's kind of new for us. It's new for the city. This is kind of a prototype.
Throughout the morning, people trickle into the large mobile unit as people with the clinic visit homeless service providers to get those in need connected to health care. One woman named Debbie says she was at the Lord's Diner when she heard about the clinic. She decided to visit the mobile unit and got her COVID vaccine, a blood pressure check, and other services. Team members providing care that day say it's a way for them to work with the community and give back. Stroud says more healthcare providers for the unhoused community, like the ICT Street Team and Health Corps, are needed.
Because no matter how many people are out, how many days are out here, there's still a need that there's just no way to meet because the demand is just so great.
According to Health Corps' Teresa Lovelady, at the next clinic in mid-May, they want to bring in more providers to meet the various needs of the unhoused community.
If we can go out into a community and meet someone where they are and make their life a little bit better, then that's our responsibility.
For Lovelady, the initiative is also a way to provide hope in the community.
If you think about just hope, I mean, we all hope for a better life. We all hope for better things. And when I think about Project Hope, I think about that part of it. You know, we want to have faith in our systems that there are people out there that care about other people.
For The Range, I'm Kylie Cameron.
And now, book reviewer Suzanne Perez says one of this year's Pulitzer Prize winners in literature will take you on an emotional journey.
The Pulitzer Prize for Fiction was awarded last week, and for the first time in the category's 105-year history, two books shared the top prize, Hernan Diaz's Trust and Barbara Kingsolver's Demon Copperhead. I've read both prize winners, which may be a first in my history, and I wholeheartedly agree with the Pulitzer Committee. Both novels explore issues of wealth, poverty, and the American dream, Trust being set in 1920s New York City and Demon Copperhead in southern Appalachia. And while both are destined to become classics, Kingsolver's work took me on an emotional journey that I just can't stop thinking about. Her novel is a 560-page epic and a modern retelling of David Copperfield, but please don't let that dissuade you from picking it up. Familiarity or even a passing knowledge of Dickens is not really a prerequisite for this book. Kingsolver recasts the Victorian novel to contemporary rural America, giving us a character who braves poverty, foster care, addiction, and countless other challenges. Demon's voice is the star of this show, as he faces adversity with humanity and even humor. The sweeping story reminds me of two other epic novels I've loved, John Irving's A Prayer for Owen Meany and John Boyne's The Heart's Invisible Furies. This book will break your heart and fill it up again. A phenomenal journey that deserves all the awards. For KMUW, I'm Suzanne Perez.
Thanks for joining us for Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Beth Golay.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
What if national news was actually covered by the whole nation? The NPR network is over 200 independent newsrooms strong, stretching across all 50 states and Washington, D.C. It unites 300 million Americans in one big community built on one even bigger idea. What you hear changes everything.